man. Let's bring in our boy Cam Inman here on the River Islands Guest Line. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Of course, Cam Inman, longtime writer for Bay Area News Group here, and he's got a new book. And I'm trying to pull up your Instagram so I can get the name of the book. Cam, maybe you want to jump in here. Name of the book, Cam. Let's plug it right now.
The name of the book is called The Franchise 49ers, so it's pretty simple. And it officially comes out next week. You can still pre-order now, but as of next week, it's going to be in your bookstores. So,
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. A lot of guys have the golden ticket in their hands, so hopefully you guys got your copies yet. If not, I'll get on the publisher and tell them to get them going.
Yeah, forwards by Frank Gore and George Kittle. I can't believe how much you pay them to do that, Cam.
You know what? That was kind of like a cool little project because most books you have one forward, and I go, you know, these two guys just epitomize football and like the 49ers to me of my 25 years covering them. And so, I mean, they did a pro bono work. I mean, it was fun to do. And then, you know, Kittle took some extra time. They're very heartfelt, very heartfelt words. And that alone is worth buying the book. So
we should blame you for his hamstring tightness.
You know, I went on a run this morning and I was glad that I didn't get the injury bug. I survived. We don't know how serious Kittle's hamstring is. Same with Charvarius Ward's hamstring and knee. I saw Charvarius Ward in the locker room after practice yesterday, and he seemed to be in good spirits. I think it's very precautionary on both their counts, just kind of knowing that they were a little tight and sore when they showed up to work yesterday, so they held him out because Thursday is usually their pretty bigger practice, so to speak. And then we'll find out from Shanahan in about 5 hours what their official designation is. But I would assume that they're going to be questionable, which is better than out in Debo's case and McCaffrey's case.
Could you make an argument that this game's coming at like just the right time for the team? It feels like every year when they face the Rams, It becomes a galvanizing moment in the regular season and propels them forward. I feel like facing McVay and the Rams, I don't know. It just feels like a perfect storm for them to get right.
It could be because you're going into friendly territory. I mean, that stadium it's a spectacle when you're inside there and you see this, about 75% of the fans are wearing red, and it's going to be the Rams home opener. And the Niners appreciate that, and knowing that it gives them a sense of comfort. I mean, remember like 2 years ago, they go down there, and that's when you kind of really saw the McCaffrey, what he had, the hat trick, right? He threw a touchdown, caught one, and ran one. And it's like, and then from then on, that offense just took off. And you're going down there this time, and you don't have McCaffrey, you don't have Debo, but the cupboard's not bare. If you don't have Kittle, yeah, that doesn't help either. But you got Purdy. To me, and I know there's a lot of talk all week about, is this a Brock Purdy game? Is this Brandon Ayuk's big game? I'm most curious to see how Jordan Mason does. This kid has run for over 100 yards in each two games. And, I mean, we've seen Mason off and on the last few years. But he's running just with authority and finding these lanes that are opening up. And just he looks like a different runner this year than I've ever seen.
No, I'm concerned here as we're talking to Cam Inman on the River Islands Guest Line. I'm with you. Mason looks like a battering ram. He is playing very good football. And I think he can catch the ball a little bit better if Brock hits him on a couple checkdowns there early in the football game. But who's going to back up Mason? Because I was doing the math here. He's on pace to have 408 carries. He's had 48 carries so far to start the season. He may need a blow here and there. Who's going to be
will,
in there?
Right? Huh? So you're going to have Brock Purdy running the zone? No, I'm just kidding. I mean, Brock is a lot more mobile, and he's scrambled pretty well. You know, Isaac Garendo is a guy they drafted high, right? Well, fourth-round pick or whatever. And he's kind of more of an upright speedster. But so is Raheem Mostert. I think they need to give him some opportunities in this game because I think the Rams' defense is inviting it. You don't have Aaron Donald to worry about. But for the most part, it's going to be a lot of J.P. Mason. And, you know, Patrick Taylor Jr. is a guy he's in the shadows. Like, nobody talks about him. He's like the third string running back right now. He hasn't been used yet this year, but he's shown a little bit in practices and camp. So, you know, it's the Shanahan scheme. So if these guys get the ball, they know where to go. Bobby Turner's just a top-notch running backs coach. So, and the Niners love to run on the Rams. I mean, that's where they feast on it, and that's why they've had so much success over the years.
How do they stop the run? Because that feels like the only area of strength, you know, at least roster-wise for the Rams heading into this week. And they haven't been able to stop the run, at least going back last week, on the inside or the outside.
I know. I asked Nick Sorensen, the new defensive coordinator, yesterday what he thinks about how his defensive tackles are playing. Because, I mean, we saw Malik Collins flash here and there. But we haven't seen enough out of Hargrave or Elliott or Givens. And, Sorensen's like, oh, they're doing great. And I'm like, oh, well, I don't know if they're doing great, but you know that Fred Warner's great behind them. So how do they stop the run? You unleash Fred Warner and have him go after the ball and punch it out for a third straight game. Fred Warner's playing at such an elite level. That game in Minnesota is one of the best defensive performances I've seen. Just the timing of everything and just the force and violence that he played with to try to keep that team in the game. So as long as Fred Warner's on that field, that defense is going to be like have an edge on the Rams, especially at the Rams. Their line is all jumbled. Their running backs are not running well through two games. So I think that's fine, but I think you're right. I mean, it's like if Kupp and Nakua are out, well, there goes your top two wide receiver options. Then again, you got Matthew Stafford back there, and Stafford's a guy going, well, I'll show you how good of a quarterback I am. I'm going to throw it all over the yard and test every cornerback out here still.
Yeah, that's interesting. Early down situations. Leonard Floyd, as you talk about Fred Warner having a great game against Minnesota, I thought he played at a Hall of Fame level. You're right, yep. Cam. It was unbelievable. Leonard Floyd was invisible. And they took advantage of him in a run game, in the pass game, whatever it was. Either Gross Matos, do you think the Niners would be interested in maybe giving him some early down opportunities, maybe against the run in obvious run situations?
Yeah, but you know what? Go back to a week ago, and Leonard Floyd was getting praised for how great he did in the opener. So it's like we can't be total prisoners of the moment and just kind of realize, all right, this guy is a longtime vet. He is healthy. He knows how to play, and he's going against the Rams. You know, he played for the Rams. And he might have a little extra juice in him. So, no, I mean, this is – you brought Leonard Floyd in to be the great compliment to Bosa, and – I didn't like what I saw in the injury report yesterday after practice when Nick Bosa showed up with a rib injury and was limited. And, we saw him in the game go down late in the third quarter, but I thought it was a leg issue. Anytime Bosa's on the injury report, it's concerning. I watched him at practice yesterday. He was moving around fine. He was, like, pantomiming some pass rushing drills with Leonard Floyd off to the side. But he wasn't totally fully engaged in one of the drills they were doing. So I think for sure Bosa plays, but it's just you don't want him banged up this early in the season.
You referenced Garendo earlier, but who's the guy that you just think they need to get on the field on either side of the ball just to kind of just change things up?
I think the temptation a lot of people are saying is let's see Jacob Cowing in that speed, right? He's the punt returner. He hasn't really been unleashed on offense. Without Debo out there, I could imagine Cowing's going to get some jet sweeps or end-arounds and see how he runs with the ball. But don't forget about Chris Conley and Juwan Jennings, because in the Super Bowl, these two guys are studs. And without Debo or McCaffrey out there, they're going to need guys to step up, and everybody's going to be looking at Ayuk. The Rams should be doubling Ayuk. But Conley and Jennings have Brock Purdy's trust and comfort. And Brock said something yesterday when he was talking about Eric Saubert, the backup tight end, because he threw two back-to-back completions to Saubert in the two-minute drill in Minnesota. And he said Saubert's been in the league, you know, for a long time. This is his eighth year. So he has experience in that, Brock said. It gives him a comfort level. And that, to me, tells me, okay, in this time, he wants to go to guys he knows, and he knows Juwan Jennings and Conley pretty well from the last couple of years. So I could see them going to getting the ball more than a Cowan.
All right, you brought up Cowan in the punt return thing. All right.
Yeah.
You've been covered, you said, 25 years on this team, so I'll go way back in time. So probably one of the first returners that I actually thought was decent that they've had since then, like Vinny Sutherland, right? Way off, way back.
Yeah.
What is it? Now, I know Ted Ginn Jr. had moments. Fred Otis Amy had moments. Okay.
Gosh.
Stingers up. But, like, what is it about the Niners' punt and kick return that in these crucial moments, and Bonte gets mad at me, but I'm like, just catch it, just catch
mad.
It, just catch it.
I don't
it.
Get mad.
I'm like, I have PTSD from punt and kick returns.
You.
Am I alone?
You didn't even mention Kyle Williams. You didn't mention Jarrod Hayne. Jarrod Hayne. That's what I was worried about with Cowing, was because Jarrod Hayne comes over from Australia and they give him the punt return job under Tom Sula. The first Monday night game, I think it was against Green Bay, and he fumbles under the lights. It's like, all right, that dude's done. So when Jacob Cowing fumbles in Minnesota, right? I'm like, that's not a great sign. All right, welcome to the league, rookie. So in the locker room, you know, it's pretty solemn and quiet. And I see Jacob Cowan getting dressed, and I'm like, I'm just going to test this rookie. I want to see how accountable he is. So I go up and ask him to describe what actually happened. And he's, first of all, he's a great communicator. And second of all, he starts describing it, going, look, I saw that the defender was closing in on me pretty fast. I got my hand up to signal fair catch a little late. It threw me off balance, and that's, you know, I took, you know, that's how the ball bounced out. And he's like, but that won't happen again. I'm going to get better. And he had exactly the right temperament, the right confidence, was not shaken. And I said, well, you know, this is a pretty tough environment. I mean, this is one of the NFL's greatest arenas to be playing in. Was that challenging? He goes, absolutely not. This is what I want to be in. This is awesome. So just those two answers just showed me accountability and the desire for growth, and that's what you want to see out of a rookie. So Shanahan was asked about him on Wednesday, and he's like, look, it was one muff return. Didn't sound like he's abandoning ship and going to put in Trent Taylor instead. So it sounds like they give Cowan another chance because, hey, this is why they drafted him. They want him to be a punt returner and a speed threat on offense. So you're not going to ditch him on a muff punt that was actually recovered by your own team. So I thought it was like a stand-up moment. I saw him yesterday in the locker room. I just swung by. I said, hey, thanks for talking to me. That was a pro moment. Good work.
Cam, before we let you go, you interact with a lot of 49er fans on Instagram, 49ers.cam on IG. Your account's booming. I'm kind of jealous of it. Who needs a bigger game in terms of for the fan psyche? Is it Brandon Ayuk or is it Brock Purdy?
I said Jordan Mason. I don't get to say that. All right.
The fans, not you, Cam. You're a writer. You're a journalist. You're objective, Cam.
No, hey, listen. Just like my book, The Franchise 49ers, it starts with the quarterbacks. Everything about this franchise is about the quarterbacks. The quarterback's going to touch the ball every time. Ayuk's not touching the ball every time. If he gets 8 catches, it's like, holy cow. If he gets 3, it's like, oh, okay, same old. But if those 3 catches are touchdowns, boom. And that's going to be dependent on Brock Purdy throwing in the ball. So, and you know, a lot of people are just riding Brock right now. And I just, you got to go back to last season. This kid threw for a passing record in 49ers history of 4,280 yards, and he sat out the last game. And he did this on a repaired elbow. And then, you know, people go, well, what's he going to do in, you know, comeback moments? Well, he led him to 2 comeback playoff wins, if I'm not mistaken. So that's why the Niners are not shaken whatsoever in Brock. And that's why they're like, have a lot of confidence that they may be down a couple of guys going into the Rams game, but you got your quarterback and your quarterback knows how to run this offense. It really is dependent on if the other guys know how to run their jobs on the offense. And you have the same starting offensive line, and you just got to make sure that some of these guys that are going to be plugged in don't mess it up.
In one of those comebacks, the NFC Championship game, he ran for, I don't know, 50 or 55 yards or whatever. I'd like to, I'm not saying design runs, but when the opportunities present itself, just take the 8 yards and slide. He did it a couple times in the game the other day. I think that his legs can be a big asset for him.
And going into the offseason, one of the things he talked about was he wanted to work on his mobility. And that obviously is going to help when you're getting sacked 6 times in a game. You need to get out of the pocket if the line's still working through some things. But I think he knows that. So he knows he's going to have to take it upon himself and be a little bit more mobile and run when lanes are given to him. And without having to run away from Aaron Donald, like past 49er Rams games with their 49er quarterbacks, it should be more wide open. And I'm just going to see how Shanahan schemes it, whether he's just going to just play a little bully ball and send Mason up the middle all day.
Niners win this Sunday, Cam?
Niners going to win 27-20.
Ooh, close game. Close game. What's the spread here? What's the spread? It doesn't matter.
Just win. I think the spread is around 6 or 7, but I don't. I just
6.5. Oh, they cover by a hook. Get your mic on. Nobody can hear you, Shasky. They're favored by 6.5.
There you go.
All right, Cam. Good stuff as always, man. We appreciate it. The franchise coming out in stores at a bookstore near you. Cam M. and Bay Area News Group here on the River Islands Guest Line. I know we all just want them to win, Shasky.